Well, without further ado, it's an amazing thing as I look at this congregation, and we still have two seats empty here on the front row. And those of you that go to, those of you that take in ballet and plays and things like that, most people pay more to sit on the front row. And here it seems like we'd rather not in church sit on the front row. But anyway, a couple of seats here on the front row still left. Can you hear me in the back all right? Okay, this is going to be lesson one in laying the foundation. And I don't know how many of you remember. Most of us in this room seem like we've got some silver in our hair. But if you remember, how many remember the three-speed shifter on the column with the clutch? How many? If you had four on the floor, it was awesome. But I'll tell you what, if no one ever showed you where the gears were, it was really hard to motivate and get anywhere. And you knew you were in the car, you knew the car had capability, you knew that it could take you places you couldn't go without it, but yet had someone not familiarized you with the shifting pattern or the gears and how everything worked, you just didn't make much progress. And I feel like for a lot of years in my Christian walk, I didn't make the progress I could have made because I didn't know where the gears were. And so tonight we want to start with this lesson one and laying the foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's all I'll say about that. We're studying to show ourselves approved unto God. It has nothing to do with man. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at where 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 4th, and reverse are in the Scripture, so that as we begin to try to rightly divide the word of truth, we can understand what fits where and how to get where God wants us to go. It's interesting that we are called a royal priesthood, and we recognize the fact that the book of the priest is the book of Leviticus. And as we learn the book of Leviticus, which seems to be dead, dry, and dull, a lot of blood, a lot of death, until we recognize the fact that it is a physical typology of a spiritual reality. So I'm going to give you, in my opinion, and what I believe biblically you will discern as you study, the five foundations that the Bible is written on. And these are not the only ones, but they are the major foundations of the Bible. And I will make this statement, it's rather bold, that until you have some working knowledge of these five foundations, you can't take the car every place that it's designed to go, so to speak. And so the first of the five foundations, and it's interesting the number five, because it is a fivefold ministry. When God speaks to Moses, he says, what's in your hand? And we recognize the fact that what makes us different from the animal kingdom, besides many other things, is the design of our hand with the four fingers and the grasping thumb. But in the first of the five foundations, it needs to be understood to rightly divide the word of truth. Without understanding where the gears go, you can spin your tires a lot and get nowhere. First five of the foundations are the commandments of God. And you may not be familiar with all of them. You may only be familiar with what is called the Ten Commandments. However, you will recognize the fact that even though it took a while to write in stone, when Moses had to write the second set of tablets, it certainly didn't take him 40 days to receive just 10 commandments. But while he was on the mountain, he began receiving the 613 commandments. In Exodus 24, you'll find this. In Exodus 24 and 12, when the Lord says unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain, be there, and I will give you the tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. And so you'll notice that this is where God begins to commune with us the way of righteousness, the path of knowledge. And you will find out as you continue on in your journey that to really be someone that has a spiritual soul, that you will become much less involved in the things of this world. It will grow strangely dim. Materialism is an anchor. It is a it is something that bankrupts a soul. This is why when Yeshua came, the fulfillment of the word, he owned nothing. He borrowed a tomb. He lived at Peter's house for much of his ministry. And yet he was free, and he spoke to us how God even provided for the lilies and the birds each day. And starting with myself, I've got more junk in my closet than most people in Ethiopia have. I take more on vacation by the time I get my personal pillow and my personal fan and my sound machine and my cooler and my water, and the list goes on. I have more stuff in the back of my car to take a vacation than many people in the world own. Can I get a Baptist nod and an amen? Okay. So I'm not shooting at us. We are all trapped in materialism. But it can be excessive to where it bankrupts the soul. So we see here that the first of five foundations are the instruction of God. And this is how we get closer to the Lord. How can two walk together except they agree? We need to know the mind of the Lord. And the second of the five foundations is the tabernacle. So he marches us to Mount Sinai. There he espouses us to him by the agreement of his word. And the first thing God gives us, which is the fundamental foundation, and I think all scholars would agree with that, is he gives unto us the foundation of the word. Then the second foundation he gives to them is a sanctuary or a tent of meeting. You find this, the word begins in Exodus 24, where he gives unto them the commandments and continues on. And then in Exodus 25, he tells Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. And I am sharing this because to find out where the gears of the car are, or spiritually, to find out how to make the word really work, because you will get tired of seeing your friends dismayed at the fact that they learn certain charismatic hype or almost witchcraft and spirits, familiar spirits and chanting and things that aren't even biblical, that somewhat resemble truth of the word, and then they finally wonder why things aren't working for them. It's because they were never taught truth. And there's just one. And so we see the first foundation is to understand his instruction, his law, his commandment, basically his word. Then the second foundation he gives to us is he gives to us a typology and a pattern of things in heaven. And the relevance of studying the sanctuary, and then later in the we will get in the New Testament and the portion of the Older Testament, the temple, we see where this is actually a blueprint given to us by God to know the mind of God. Now, it's as amazing as the word itself, both given by God Almighty, the Creator. So the second foundation of the five is he gives us the word, then he gives unto us the typology of the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. Anybody have a guess what the third foundation would be? And that's a redundant question. The foundation number three, he gives us the word. He gives us the tabernacle or temple. Then he institutes a priesthood. And this is where we come in. And so already we see where if you understand the five fundamental foundations, then you are going to be able to dissect the scripture and place them into each one of these five categories, and you will understand what fits where and be able to come up with absolutes on what the word is trying to express, because it is absolute truth. So foundation number three, we see in Exodus 28. Exodus 24, he begins to give them the first foundation, the word. Exodus 25, he gives them the pattern of things in heaven, the tabernacle or the tent of the meeting place where he will dwell amongst them. And then, so that we can get to him, the third foundation he gives us after the word and after a dwelling place is he gives unto us a priesthood in Exodus 28 and 1. And he tells them, he says, take thee into thy Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Five men. And it will be from these five men only that this is why Jews are so interested in DNA, because with this chromosome that we now understood the priest had, we can identify who has descended from these five men. Interesting, we are staying with the number five, and the Bible tells us it's the fivefold ministry. There were five men, and from their bloodline only could you be a high priest. Now, you will notice as you are looking at the screen that there is the high priest to your left that has on the garments, the beautiful garments, and then he is the same high priest on your right that is only the white garments, which are the garments of a common priest. Now, if you were of the tribe of Levi, you could be wear the garments of a common priest, and only you could be from the office, fulfill the office of a high priest if you were from the Aaronic bloodline. So The third foundation that he gives us is the priesthood. So if you're taking notes, and I'm going to rehash this several times in lesson one, these are three foundations that as you read your Bible is written in these five subject matters, so to speak, that you will be able to trace truth all the way back to the beginning in. And then the fourth foundation is going to be the sacrifices. Isn't it interesting, not by mistake, how many sacrifices are there? There are five, just like there are five priests that made up the high priest, just like I'm giving you my opinion of the five foundations that have helped me to understand how the car works. And so we see that this fourth foundation of the five sacrifices is made up, number one, of the burnt offering. Number two is the meal offering. And your Bible, it's a poor rendition. If you have a King James or I don't know what version you use, translation of the original, probably says meat offering, but it actually is a meal offering. In other words, a grain offering. Then the third offering, as we study the sacrifices, is the sin offering. And the fourth offering is the trespass offering. And the fifth offering is the peace offering. And you will find this in the book of the priests in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 37. So he begins in Exodus chapter 24 after he takes them to the mountain. He lays forth the first three foundations. Then as they build the tabernacle, it is 9 months from the time he puts it in the mind of Moses until it is reared up on the first day of the first month. It is a house of skin. Obviously, you should already know what it's going to represent. And that is whenever Yeshua, the Word, becomes flesh, He's in the womb for 9 months, and He, the glory of the Father, dwells in a house of skin. This house of skin is where God is going to become visible in His Shekinah glory as He comes down and sits upon the throne, which is the mercy seat, thank God. And this is what Yeshua Jesus is called in the New Testament, the Kaparoth, one time, which means mercy seat. And so now, after He gives us that plan, and He has instituted a priesthood, He then shares with us what the priesthood must bring and advise the people to bring that they can be consecrated and brought back into communion and fellowship with God. This is what a priest does. You are in need of a priest. And fortunately, as we walk through this, we will see as it points to the high priest that's our great high priest that is to come. So, the fifth foundation and the final foundation that He gives unto us in the Torah is He gives unto us the feasts of the Lord. And you will find these feasts in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse number 4. And there are seven feasts of the Lord: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Shavuot or Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. So, Leviticus 23 and 4. Tells us these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season. So we will go more in depth into each of these subjects so that you can understand each of these five foundations to rightly divide the word of truth. Why were these foundations laid down by God for man? Well, in 1 Corinthians, why would God have what we call an Old Testament or an Old Covenant? Why would He not just start with the more perfect, the better covenant? You ever ask yourself that question? Well, obviously, there was a plan. And the plan is the fact that just as we send our children to preschool or kindergarten, we don't start them in college, because there are certain concepts, precepts, and principles that must be learned in order to digest weightier matters and have an understanding and appreciation of them. And so the purpose of Him laying these five foundations down in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 46 through 47, and I'll read that, says, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual." In other words, why didn't He do that was spiritual first? "But rather He did that which was natural, and then after He did that which is spiritual." And then He points out, "For the first man is of the earth," speaking of Adam. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." He was the spiritual Adam. And so, simply stated, you cannot understand spiritual truth until first God teaches you the natural or physical manifestations of His teaching. For us to claim we love God, the Bible says, whom we have never seen. So the way we know Him are through these foundations, and they will all lead us. Anything I teach, I want to put on tape right now, it will glorify Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ, deity come in flesh. So God gave man a pattern in the earth to understand the heavenly or the spiritual realm. So the reason that we can have so many disagreements in Christendom today is if you have not been built on the schoolmaster and you try to spiritualize through an American mindset 2,500 years or so after this has been written, actually 3,500 years since we are getting these commandments that we'll be sharing in this first portion, there is no way that we can comprehend what it means unless we go back to study the truth of how it's laid out. So, in Galatians chapter 3, I want to look at the first foundation that he laid. And the first foundation that he laid in the Tanakh, in the Torah, in the Humash, the first five books, is he gave unto us the law. Now, I'm jumping ahead to Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament, and I'm answering the question, why would he give unto us that is natural first and later that is spiritual? And he tells us in Galatians 3 and 24 concerning the law. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And of course that faith is in the fact that He is our Redeemer. That faith is in the fact that He is the tabernacle. Our faith is in fact that He is the Lamb, the sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. Our faith is in fact that He is the Word of God. And so, as you walk through these five foundations, you can actually, in my opinion, there's many ways to study, but you can actually have a five-ring binder and write the laws, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, and the feasts, and begin to divide your scripture into each of those, and things will become clear. So now let's look at... So there is the first foundation of the law. He explains to us why it was given. I mean, God could have just shown up in an earth suit. Said, hey, I'm here. But He knew that didn't work. Him coming as a man like us barely worked. Hebrews 9 and 24. Now we look at the next foundation, which was the tabernacle. And we look at Hebrews 9 and 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. Speaking of the holy place in the tabernacle was made by hands. But it was a type of what God has in heaven that is not made by hands. And that's what it's speaking of, which are a figure of the true in heaven. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And that's going to take us into the next foundation, priesthood. And of course, He is the only priest today that we need as a great high priest. We operate in the white garments, and our job is to bring men to the tabernacle and the temple of God along with the correct sacrifice. Does that make sense to everyone? And so as we get into studying each of these foundations more perfectly, we will find out the purpose of each foundation and where God wants us to learn the gears are to make our car be able to go where He desires us to go, so to speak. So we see then in Hebrews 4 and 14, the third foundation that we have laid out, jumping ahead to the New Testament, speaking of the priesthood is that third foundation. It says, seeing then, Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, I could take several hours, as you could, on each of these foundations and tie Old Testament and New Testament scripture together. I'm just choosing one scripture right now in each of these five categories because our only goal in lesson one is for you to be able to repeat the five foundations. And as you read, training, when I was learning to pilot airplanes, they would put me in unusual attitudes and predicaments. And the purpose of that, and just as police officers go through and firefighters go into burning buildings to train, is because the purpose of training is so that your emotions are always overridden by correct action. If you have not trained, that's why you can mentally train for things and be successful. You can mentally shoot baskets, and they proved as a basketball player, and they have proven that your score will improve almost as much as physically shooting the baskets, once you know how to physically shoot them. And so training is very important. And what we're doing is as you begin to understand and put in your memory, it's not hard, these five concepts and precepts. As you study, immediately your mind will pick up, hey, this is what he's talking about. This is where this fits. So the fourth foundation we go to are the sacrifices. And what we see in John chapter 1 and 29, after we walk through the learning in the Old Testament of these sacrifices, of course we see where Jesus or Yeshua, Yahashua in Hebrew, the next day John sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold the sacrificial Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now that statement will not make any sense whatsoever to someone that doesn't know Bible. Will it? And neither will the three statements I made prior. And it makes some sense to some of us now. But in order for it to become much plainer, don't you think that can only happen as you know what the Bible taught, what God's Word teaches on the sacrifices? And so as you journey along your pathway to know God, you can only know Him through His Word. And the amazing thing about that is the more you learn about His Word, the more you wonder where we're all going. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. And I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I'm just talking about, you know, we're not saved by knowledge, but you watch certain people do certain things in the name of Jesus, and you realize that God winks at ignorance. Colossians 2, verses 16 through 17. And then the final foundation that he gives unto us are the feasts. And so jumping ahead to the New Testament, we're going to read Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. And here the apostle writes, Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in a drink, or in a respect of a holy day, which is speaking, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days. These are the feast days, the holy days. They are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. So we're seeing that even when we get to the New Covenant, the New Testament, that the knowledge of these five foundations is what they are building their commentary on, and they assume that you have the working knowledge of everything they're speaking about. Does that make sense? Good. So, I want to rehash here real quickly the five foundations, and we're reading it from the ground up here, being the first foundation is the law. The next foundation is the tabernacle. The next foundation is the priesthood. The next foundation is the sacrifices, and then the feasts. And there are only five questions in the human mind. That is how, where, who, what, and when. And I have likened these five questions and plugged each of those into my brain as to where they fit, as to why God would give me these five foundations, because the law tells me how. The tabernacle tells me where to find Him. The priesthood tells me who He is. The sacrifices tell me what He's done. And the feasts tell me when He'll do it. I'll leave that there for a moment if you're taking notes. I'm trying to make it as simple as I know how. So foundation one, when we look at the law, we see this in Exodus chapter 24. I want to speak about the law, and this will be the first of the foundations we cover, and I really think you're going to find it exciting. It's really not boring at all. In Exodus 24 and 12, this is the first place in your Bible, even though the word law is used hundreds of times, this is the first place in your Bible that the word law is used. And I really feel like many of you may have the same personality that I have, whether I like it or not, and that is I don't like to be told what to do. And when I hear my wife nodded her head to that, and I'll tell you some things about her later. So what we see is, but when I had the proper understanding of what we have called law, which the Bible never calls law, then all of a sudden I can receive it with a different mindset. So the first place in the Bible that the word God uses the word law is in Exodus 24 and 12. And the Lord says unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, we know Mount Sinai there, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou may teach them. Now, we know that God writes the first of the Ten Commandments himself. We know that Moses comes down the first time from the mountain. The people are dancing around a golden calf, and therefore the word is broken at the foot of the mountain. Many of us, if you've not been to Israel, Jesus, Yeshua, was more than likely not crucified on the top of Golgotha, but rather he was crucified there at the roadway at the base of Golgotha, where the road led in and out of the city of Jerusalem, where they did crucifixions. And he was broken at the foot of the hill, and he was rejected the first time he came, the Word. This is what this is going to lead us to later, a hidden typology, that is physical and natural first, so we can understand the picture, to understand later that is done spiritually. So the first place that this word law is used, law in Hebrew is Torah, or Torah, as we may call it. Torah, that's what the Japanese said when they bombed Pearl Harbor, but it means something different in Japanese. This is Hebrew Torah. It's pronounced T-O-W-R-A-H. It's not spelled that way, Torah. And so in the Torah, what we see is, actually this word law, if I were to say it in Hebrew, would mean God, first place in the word, he gives us direction and instruction. Now that greatly changes the way that I receive the word of God. Because I don't know of anyone that does not like to have truth in direction and truth in instruction. Many of us that have rebellious natures, we might rebel our mind without us even knowing when someone says, I've got some law and commands for you. And the word commandment, so he's going to give us direction and instruction, and his commandment is the rule and principles prescribing a particular course of action or conduct. The big new plane that is double-deckered that flies, we see out here on Lake Houston, we occasionally see it fly over and it looks so humongous, from Germany. And the designers have the pilots that have been trained. And there they are on board and they load up that thing with hundreds of people. And they just let the people do anything they want. Anyone can come up, sit in the pilot seat. If they want to kick out a window, they can kick out a window. I think not. And that may be a poor example, but when you look at God as the creator of the universe, he has built something with such perfect balance and such perfect order that if we can't take instruction from the pilot that's in the seat of the plane, and we think that we can somehow get that plane to its destination with no skill, no training, no understanding of how each of the components work, each of the systems work. And that may be a poor analogy, but we really do look foolish when we do not accept the instruction of the one that created all things. So remember, as the rest of this teaching, when I say the word law, it's really Torah, which means instruction and means direction. So I want you to notice then, I'm going to read Exodus 24 and 12 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I've written that you may teach them. So the heart of God, this is not an angry God. This is a God whose purpose is to give to us the mysteries of the universe and an understanding and instruction on how to navigate the earth. how to make our lives be fruitful, how to make our lives be abundant. And Sunday, you'll be amazed at some of the things that you see that will tie into this. But anyway, so when we understand the meaning of the word law or Torah, we can receive it with greater enthusiasm. And I want to look and all of a sudden help our minds receive every time we read this word in our version of the Bible. It says law. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9, one of the first places after he tells him what I want to give you the law, the instruction, in Leviticus 6 and 9, he says, command Aaron and his sons, God speaking to Moses, this is the law of the burnt offering. Now, I hand you a goat, I hand you a bullock, and I say, I need you to sacrifice this. It needs to be kosher. It needs to be this. It needs to be that. Have at it. And we would not have any idea what to do, would we? And we would be grateful that God has asked us to do something and then gave us some instructions to tell us how to do it, wouldn't we? Came in last night, my wife bought a big dollhouse for her first granddaughter. We got four grandsons? Four grandsons, one granddaughter. And she says, I know you'll need these. And she had been working on putting this wooden three-story dollhouse together. So that's the last thing I need. Because men don't read instruction manuals. But I'm wanting you to notice, so God said this is the instruction. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 46. God speaks again. He says, this is the law of the beast and of the fowl and every living creature. And so what's going to happen to you as you, as your heart and your mind begin to soften towards receiving instruction, you're going to find out that as you study the instruction on how to deal with everything in life according to the 613 instructions, that you're going to find out in some areas you have sinned. How many know what sin means? Sin means you're aiming at a target, but you missed the mark. Sin does not make you dreadful and evil and terrible and God's going to burn your little hiney in hell. Sin means you have missed the mark. And the instruction is what teaches you how to hit the mark. But if you keep shooting without instruction, that's not wise, is it? So we see in Leviticus chapter 14, so this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Now, I'm just reading a portion of the scripture, but my thrust of hoping to get us to understand is the fact that all of us would say, well, I'd love to know how to heal a leper. And God says, I have instruction. But we use the word law. So with all of that, we're beginning to understand that because we have been brainwashed, because he who controls your information controls you, because we have been brainwashed due to the fallout that the Jew and the Gentile had during the Roman days of Constantine, and the church went into dark ages and killed all the Jews. They outlawed all the feasts, made it illegal for them to celebrate Shabbat, changed it to Sunday. I can go down the line historically, and here we are 2,000 years later, where the truth has been so manipulated and twisted that we have been taught that the law is evil. Right. Now think about what we just said. And if you would share with Christian people that you are desiring to know more about the Torah, you're actually saying, I want to know more of what God instructed, you would find that offensive to many people that profess Christ today because they've been programmed with a new direction. So in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Pastor, are you trying to teach us how to be Jewish? Not at all. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. You know, this will change your desire to learn the word if you can get rid of that word law. When you realize, what are you doing? Man, I'm studying the instruction from the Creator. And let me get on. Okay. So, but his delight is in the instruction of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You want to know why people do that? Because they're turned on to the fact, this is how I get ahead for eternity. This is what makes my life work. Amen. This is what puts the giddy up in my day. This is what the joy of the Lord gives to me as I wash my cranium with the Word of God. So, let's get on with this. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7, the Word comes to Joshua, whose name is Yeshua in Hebrew. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the instruction. I hate to use the word, but it says to all the law. Doesn't that change everything? You need to do according to all the instruction which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn from it to the right hand. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That with this instruction you can prosper wheresoever you go.
Amen. That's
right. Well, I don't want to know the law. That's legalism. No, that's why your little prayer language and doing all these witchcraft cantations thinking you can accomplish something doesn't work except in your mind.
That's good.
If you'll get real and realize you're living in hype, that you have made your Christianity an emotion, that somehow you fall into your emotion and think that's reality, if it doesn't align with the truth of the Word, you're out of order.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe in spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. I believe in all the things that I see in the Word. But when you try to leave that to go to another level, the only level from the Spirit infilling is to go back to the truth of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit that brings us balance. The Word and the Spirit. All right. So, he says, if you will do all you can do to walk in my instruction, I'll prosper wheresoever you go. Now, you also need to know that the Bible teaches there is no such thing as quick wealth. But I need to say that again. The Bible teaches there is no such thing as quick godly wealth. There is worldly quick wealth that leaves as fast as it comes. Because God builds on foundations. Now the last place in the Bible that the word law is used, and I find this interesting, is where it explains that sin is a missing of the target. So I've given you the first place the word law is used. Now I want to give unto us the last place the word law is used in your Bible. In 1 John, the epistle of 1 John chapter 3 verses 4 and 5, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. Now, this isn't the time or the place for me to say what I'm going to say, and that's why I'm going to say it. I'm smiling. You see, the law has not been done away with. But the thing about the better covenant is when we miss the mark, we have a heavenly eraser, the Lamb of God, that has come to blot out that missing of the mark and give us a 100. The law is spiritual. And if you'll read your Bible, He says not one jot or one tittle shall fail. Jesus came and He was the teleos. He completed. He's the only man which gave Him the right to march into hell and take back the keys of death and hell. He's the only man that ever was able to live a totally righteous life. And righteousness is only dictated by the instruction of God. Now, with that said, God did not give us His instruction to cause us to be miserable. He gave us His instruction so that we could be the head and not the tail. The lender and not the borrower. And I'm not trying to get us tied into a Christian greedy giving. But I'm trying to share that He wants you to prosper in all that you do. But if you do not walk in obedience, how can God prosper you? May you prosper as your soul prospers.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the 613 laws. Boy, it sounds like a lot of instruction, doesn't it? Sounds like a lot of rules. So let's break this down, and we're going to study the law here in the next lesson as well, because I think it will really help our attitudes as we learn these five foundations to see the relevance and the joy that's in them. There are 248 what we call positive commandments out of the 613 instructions. And these are commandments. A positive commandment tells us what to do. In other words, it is a commandment of action. These are things we should do. And I see some of you writing, so I'll take a moment. Now, I think it's interesting, and maybe by accident, maybe not, that there are 365 days in our year, and there are 365 negative commandments. Now, a negative commandment is just terminology that Hebrews or rabbis have stated that means these are the instructions that we are to refrain from doing. So we've been given 248 things that we should do and 365 things that we should not do. And the Ten Commandments are included in the 613 commandments. There are today, out of the 613 commandments, as you study your Bible, today there are only 297 commandments that are in effect because the temple is no longer standing. And what did we say the law is? It is instruction. And when you have a temple, only God could instruct you how to care for it and what you are to do there. So hundreds of these instructions are not needed today because they will only be in effect when the third temple is rebuilt in the millennium to come. Does that make sense? Now, out of these 297 commandments that are in effect today, there are 77 positive commandments, which we understand are 77 things we should do. What's the number of God?
Seven.
And there are 194 negative commandments, things that we should not do, things that we should abstain from. And then that does not add up to 297 because we also need to add in there are 26 commandments that are given, 26 instructions that are applicable only to you if you live in the land of Israel. So the other thing you will notice as we get into these, that some only apply to men above 13 years of age, some of these instructions. And some only apply to women above 12 years of age. So already you are learning, wow, I've got some things I can understand that I've not yet understood about the instruction of God that may help me clarify when I hear Christian hype, whether it's based on fact or fable. There are three types of commandments. There are the judgments, there are the statutes, and there are the testimonials. Now, the best way I can describe those are judgments of these three types of these 290-some commandments that are in effect today. Judgments are those within human understanding. In other words, I understand why he says, thou shalt not kill. I understand why he says, thou shalt not steal. I can comprehend that even with my carnal mind. How about you? Does that not make sense to you? Okay. Now, we're living in an hour where some things that don't make sense to me are making sense to the world. That's all I'll say about that. Hello, California. But we got a commandment against that stuff, an instruction, okay? So then the second type of the three commandments called statutes. And a statute is an instruction that is given, and it's beyond my human understanding. It's beyond my reasoning. But I'm going to do it anyway. Even though I don't understand it, my father gave it to me for my benefit and for my good. Makes sense. For instance, and so as you're taking these notes and we go through the commandments, you'll say, I don't understand that at all. Neither do I. But he didn't ask me to understand. Guess what he asked me to do? Obey. Okay? Obedience better sacrifice. So, for instance, I don't understand why he told him we can't wear wool and linen together. You get that? Now we can historically study and come up with some ideas we think, but I don't get it. And then we've got testimonials. And these are commandments that ask us to remember what God has done. One of the commandments would be on Passover, where we have the youngest ask the questions. And this feasts are so that we can go into testimonials because we are fulfilling these three types of commandments. And that's why one of the things in the New Testament is they were made overcomers by what?
The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
What all were they made overcomers by?
The blood of the Lamb.
By the blood? The word of their testimony. Sacrifices and instruction.
Amen.
Next slide. I'm about done. So we were given only one commandment when we were in the garden. We know how that ended up. So how in the world are we going to handle 613? Thank God for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that you eat thereof thou shalt surely die." So, said enough about that verse. So knowing the Torah commandments today, when we look at these, the Torah of course is the first five books of the Bible. However, as we get into the 613 instructions or laws of God, they don't begin until Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to give you the first commandment. The first commandment given to man by God. Exodus 20 and 2. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So, we haven't learned this because, you know, I was taught the Ten Commandments, but it's been such a joy learning the rest of them because this commandment predates the second commandment. Because the first commandment is, first I need to know there is a God. And that's what this verse describes. It's telling, he is telling me, I am God. I'm the one that brought you out. So the first commandment to a Hebrew and to you and I, given by God, is there is a God. And this is what Abraham knew, which led him to the greatest of all the commandments, and that's the second commandment given in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so as we start walking through these laws, I don't know how many of them we'll cover, it's an exciting thing because we begin to understand there are certain foundational things that our kids need to be taught. Now, I don't have time to get this in this series, but just want to whet your appetite for a moment. We are entering an hour where many prophecy teachers believe we are approaching the cashless society. And in that cashless society, in order to be a participant in that society, you're going to have to receive what? A mark? And where will that mark be? No, it's more specific than that. Where will that mark be? In your what? In your right hand or your forehead. Now, if we understood the law of God, how many know what tefillin is? Or tefillin. Well, that is where you bind the laws of God upon your forehead and upon your right hand. That's all I'm going to say right now. So I'm going to share with you that, and you'll find this in the Torah, that they were to bind this on their right hand and on their forehead. And so when I teach the book of Revelations, for me to teach the book of Revelations to people that don't understand the first 65 books, we get into a lot of speculation. But it has spiritual significance, all of it. Does that make sense? So let's do a quick review of the five foundations. The first foundation, and this is the last slide, the how, the law. How do we do this? The law. Second question man asks, where? The tabernacle, second foundation. The third foundation, the priesthood, who is he? The fourth foundation, the sacrifices, what's he going to do, the Lamb of God? And the fifth foundation, the feast, and when he's going to do it. So these are a quick reenactment or rehearsal of these five foundations. And the next lesson we will continue in the instruction of the Lord, and we will look at in the 290-some commandments that are in effect today and begin to dissect them, and then we will begin to approach the subject of the oral law so we can understand what that is about as well. God richly bless you. This ends lesson 1.